Welcome back. We're actually right into the meat and potatoes of the show, or the meat and potatoes of Trent Voices, and we're gonna be chatting with someone who is hardly a meat and potatoes kind of woman. In fact, she's the polar opposite. She's known across the land, across our land of Peterborough, as a woman of many veggies. She's the manager of the Peterborough Downtown Farmers Market. She's the manager of Peterborough's Community Gardens. She's the owner and manager of Urban Tomato. She is Peterborough's Tomato Lady. She's a gardening fashionista. She is Jillian Bishop. And I should point out, she's also a person who is skipping a meeting with the mayor of Lakefield in order to be with us tonight. Jill, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I'd like to apologize to Lakefield for stealing Jill from your meeting. So again, thanks. First of all, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I mean that. It really is my pleasure. So it's great to have you here. First up, from the intro, we kind of couldn't help but notice that you're wacky for veggie seeds. You're crazy for heritage vegetable seeds. You're absolutely goofy about them. They're your passion. They're your career. They're your local claim to fame. And you are locally famous, so don't try and shirk that. So what's the deal here? Why are heritage seeds so darned important to you? Actually, not just to you, how come they are so darn important to all of us?
Well, I think they're very important because in some ways they're becoming increasingly rare. So despite the fact that they're in the news a lot recently, it's a somewhat harder to find resource these days. But on the flip side, they're naturally abundant. So you can easily plant a few seeds and get hundreds from that way. So it's something that if we can invest a little bit of time and energy in, the rewards can be quite strong.
Now, I mean, we take a look at gardening as a great equalizer anyway. So, I mean, we're planting seeds, we get food back. What's the importance of the heritage side of things, the conserving these species that were either from here or around this area?
Well, the heritage seeds, you're right, are often older varieties. So that is quite important because they're things that are harder to find. And along with them come a lot of stories and a lot of knowledge on how to grow food, which is something that people don't know a lot about these days. And it's sort of an active form of resistance, I like to say. So it's a very important thing that you can do to be positive. Also, if you've ever had an heirloom tomato, I'll say, or anything, they taste so much better. And so that's really worth it if you're going to spend your time growing your own food.
Well, there's a reason why you're the tomato lady. And one of those reasons is that how many varieties of tomatoes do you think you offer? Do you even know?
I usually say about 65, but I like to say it's a carefully curated collection. So I like to select the ones that did the best for me, that taste the best, that did well in this environment.
Okay, so you've got people whose main idea of a tomato is they go to the supermarket, they see a beefsteak tomato there, and they grab one off the shelf, and it's big and it's round and it's red, and that's a tomato. But yet you're talking about 65 different varieties of tomato. What are we looking at? What are we talking about here?
Well, there's a lot of unique varieties to them. So that paste tomato might be okay for a sandwich, but really we all know people like to can with tomatoes. They like to put them in their salads. They like to do different things, and, you know, people are all unique and different, and so it's nice to be able to offer people that diversity. I like putting them all together on a plate because I like to show how great they are in contrast.
It's funny. I don't know if I've seen 65 varieties of tomatoes. I've seen a whole bunch, and I've seen a whole bunch of yours, and you know what? Some of these tomatoes, I think, would scare the pants off people because they're not perfectly red, and they're not round. They're not. I mean, some of them are purple. Some of them are black. Some of them are tiger striped.
That's right.
What are some of the varieties that you love?
Well, I often get asked what's my favorite, and that's a pretty hard one to determine.
You can't choose your favorite child.
That's right. But there are ones, as you mentioned, black colored tomatoes, and I have black Russian, black Seaman, black plum, and they're all. The flavor is just super rich. I would describe them as almost being smoky. So if you've never tasted something like that, I mean, those red tomatoes in the grocery store are not bred for flavor. They're bred for shipping.
I'm now in the mood for a smoky tomato. That should be a drink, I think. We should have, I'll have a round of smoky tomatoes. I've seen your operation up close and personal. I've seen your greenhouse, which is actually your apartment. Give us an idea, or give folks listening an idea of how you start things off.
Well, I mean, I like to say without being too braggy that if I can do it, anybody can, because I really do it without a farm. I do it in the city. As you said, I turn my house into a greenhouse. So as of about mid-March, I've turned about 4 rooms in my house into a greenhouse. Every available sunny window, I take all my seeds and I start planting them. And this year I started worm composting, so I didn't even have to bring as much soil up the stairs. So trying to create a bit of a closed circuit ecosystem in my third floor apartment.
You're on the third floor. So you are traveling up and down stairs.
That's right.
It's mind-blowing. And then you move from your urban third floor greenhouse apartment. And then everything you grow, you grow on a downtown plot.
That's right. I befriended a very nice woman who let me use her backyard to grow all my food in. So it's very handy. It's one great thing about being an urban farmer is that you kind of have to build connections and build community as you do it. So I've been very blessed. People, they think they see my passion for seeds and they like to offer me space to grow.
There's that word, community. And growing is a very communal thing. But it's even more so when you're bringing people together for community gardens. You manage our area community garden program. Can you tell me a little bit about the importance of these to our community?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think, you know, everybody knows it's a way to access cheaper or free food, which is, of course, incredible. But the real value we really see is bringing people together. So I've had some people approach me saying they want to start a community garden, get their neighbors to talk to each other more. And that's really boiling it down to be quite simple, but I think that's a huge part of it. You get people whose interest in gardens for different reasons come together, and those people may have never met. And it's pretty unbelievable what can come out of that. People start canning together. They start watching each other's kids. They start cooking. And it sounds cliche, but it really does build a community where there wasn't necessarily one before. And you get a lot of delicious food to share.
It actually is beautiful. You know, you have people walking away from this. First of all, they've saved a whole whack on their grocery bill because they've been growing their own food. Second of all, they've found a way to network with their community. They've found, you know, the society of people with a shared interest, and sometimes people who didn't necessarily have a shared interest. So it is really magic, and I commend you for bringing people together like that. Now people are probably listening, going, "Well, how the heck do I get to be a part of something this wonderful, this magical?" I guess, do they talk to you?
Yeah, well, you can email me. If you go to growpeterborough.org, you'll find all my contact information. And there's still plots available in community gardens. And despite people's conception of the heat this week, it's absolutely not too late. In fact, the next few weeks is the perfect time to really get started. So,
yeah, I definitely don't let the 26 degrees fool you. Our garden out front, we have garlic from last year that's up. But really, you know, this is the time to get those seeds going. So it's absolutely fantastic. Again, community. So we talk about the community when it comes to the community garden plots. The other place that I find community coming together so magically is the farmers market.
That's right.
You manage the Peterborough Downtown Farmers Market. First of all, tell me a little bit about that place.
Sure. So it happens every single Wednesday in the Louis Street lot, which is near the corner of Charbot and Elmer, between 8:30 and 2. And it's a producers-only market, so you really can be assured that every single person you're buying your food from has grown it, baked it, prepared it, any of those things themselves. So we really value that.
And so not only can you get some really great fresh veggies, ranging from natural-based veggies to organic, all hand-grown by people here in the Peterborough area, but you can also grab lunch. It's become a hip happening place to grab some food. What are some options for people if they just want to swing by and taste a bit of culinary fun?
Well, we have a little bit of everything, I like to say. We certainly have some amazing baked goods, but as you mentioned, we have a lot of lunch options as well. So just new to us this year is the Night Kitchen Seishaw wood-fired pizza oven. So people are excited about that. Mm-hmm. But we have Fresh Urban Plate and Sybil's and Taste of Russia. Two dishes, lots of our favorites returning. So pretty much whatever you like, I believe you can find it down there to enjoy.
Folks, I will see you down there for lunch. One of the cool things, I take a look at you, Jill, and I see your work, and then I look at your resume, and I noticed that when you went to Trent, you took environmental studies and native studies, and people always talk about the fact that, oh, you know, there's so many things that you can do with your degree, but it doesn't always fit into to what you're doing with a career. I can't think of a career that dovetails in education quite as well as going into well, you know, protecting the earth through food. How'd you get started?
Well, funnily enough, I didn't have any knowledge or real interest in local food while I was doing my Trent degree. But what I really learned from particularly the Indigenous Environmental Studies program is that sort of positive action, as any Trent student can relate, you learn a lot of bad things happening in the world, particularly when you're a 19-year-old and you just got here. It can be a bit overwhelming. And so what I really learned from Native Studies was that these communities are coming together, they're vibrant and they're resilient and they're really working to make a positive change, and that can actually happen. And so when I started learning about seeds, I think that really fell into it. And with the community gardens and the market, if you put those things out on display, people all of a sudden understand where their food come from and that they can do it too. And I think I've been very blessed to have these jobs and work with lots of great people. And I have seen a positive impact in this community. And so I'm grateful for my time at Trent, even though at the time I didn't realize this was the road I was going to go on. But looking back, I definitely see how it informed that.
Awesome. I think about you in the springtime, and actually I give a pretty good chuckle because I take a look at what you're doing when it comes to the market, when it comes to seed saving, world seed production, when it comes to the community garden network. Take me through a day in the life of Jillian Bishop in the spring.
It's sheer mania at this time. I will not lie. It's like when I hang up my phone, it rings again and there's another message. But, you know, I like to say it's a symptom of success, I suppose. It's really amazing to see local food. Like when I first started selling tomatoes, people would be like, sweetie, there's something wrong with them. They're black. Now people will be like, please tell me you have black ration. And I see that happening in all those fields. And so I won't lie, it might not have been the smartest thing to have three jobs that peak at the same time of year. That's not great, but it's made me more appreciative of winter in a way I never was before.
Well, all the better reason to thank you. You, as you mentioned, it's springtime. For you, it's a manic time of running and rushing and going from place to be, from point A to point B across Peterborough, and even missing meetings in Lakefield. Like, once again, I'm going to apologize to the lovely town of Lakefield, but I want to thank you. Their loss is my gain. It's all of our gains. Jill, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you. I will say I sent the lovely Joelle Favreau in my place, and I'm sure she'll do a fantastic job.
Joelle is wonderfully fantastic. She is very talented. Lakefield, you are in good hands. Jillian Bishop, thank you very much for being here. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, especially for not making me sing. We'll be right back. we